Hello, true crime fans. Welcome to the Memorial Day edition of True Crime on Easy Street. This is season 5, episode something. I don't know. Katie keeps up with that. I do not.
Yeah.
But you'll see it on the title of today's episode. And this one's going to be a very interesting one today, I think. Katie is in the big chair, and we know the title of it, and absolutely, positively nothing else.
And I honestly forgot the title.
She's going to tell us in a minute. Yeah. In the meantime, my name is Scott Wright. I am a mediocre journalist.
Kelly Turner, not a doctor. Katie Givens, not a lawyer.
So I don't know if we have any shout outs today, Kelly.
I don't have any.
Katie, do you have any that you want to address? Okay, I've got one.
There should be one.
I've got one from a couple of weeks back. An old friend of mine from college.
Okay.
Her name is Christy Cleveland Glover.
Hello.
Christy reached out. In fact, she wanted to become a friend on our True Crime on Easy Street Facebook page, and I accepted that gladly.
Wonderful.
I haven't heard from her in years. And she lives somewhere in northwestern Alabama, I think.
Okay.
We used to be friends back in the day, close friends back in the early 90s when I had just graduated from college when I met Christy, and I knew her for a couple of years, and then she got married and moved away, or moved off and got a job and got married. I forget the exact timeline, but haven't heard from her in a long time, and she is a fan of the show now. So hello, Christy. It's good to hear you are doing well.
Well, yes. We're going to be in Northwest Alabama today for a little bit. So.
Are we indeed? Well, that is a total coincidence. And if you don't believe me, go back and listen to our previous episodes, because even when we land right on the hot spot, we were jumping blind when we did it.
Absolutely.
So
always
coincidence.
Well, speaking of housekeeping and all, Scott, have you been watching anything? You got anything to talk about around the Aeon water cooler?
I do have something for the water cooler episode today, or the segment.
Everybody take a sip.
Yeah. It's hard to gurgle when
you're out of.
Yeah,
delicious.
Sorry. I ran out of drink right before we started. But I don't have to talk much today, so I didn't need a refill.
Okay.
I have watched a new true crime series on Netflix
recently.
It is called Gone Girls.
Okay.
Yes,
and it is about, have you guys seen it?
Is it about the Long Island serial killer?
It's about the Long Island serial killer. It's a three-part series, take you about 2.5 hours to watch all three. It's very interesting. I'm not going to give anything away, but it involves missing girls, a crooked police department, and maybe attempted cover-ups along the way. A lot of confusion, a lot of frustration for families that don't seem to be getting the help from the local police in Suffolk County, New York, which is the county that occupies most of Long Island.
And a lot of it has to do with the victims. The victims are sex workers.
That is correct. Which explains why there's not a lot of urgency from the local police to do anything about it, at least initially, up until the body count gets into the 8, 10, 12 range. And then they start to think, wait a minute, we've got a problem whether we like it or not.
It's an active serial killer.
Yeah.
Or
big
it
time.
Was for
it
years.
It was for years.
And I listened to several podcasts about this.
Okay.
I love this case, so I'm going to have to check this out.
The series is great. I recommend it highly. And we will always try to... We're always going to have our Aeon water cooler segment for as long as they want us to.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll give you a little tip about a true crime series, or maybe a book somebody's read, or... We don't know yet. We're still feeling this out. We're blindfolded like we always
are. It's the water cooler. You can talk about whatever.
Whatever.
There are no rules around the water cooler other than drink the cool, clear water.
Okay. Well, that ends today's Aeon water cooler segment, I guess. Katie, did you want to add something?
Nope. You know I'm not watching anything.
Yeah, that's true.
I read all the time, so I'm not watching. But I am going to watch this documentary.
It's a good one. And so I recommend it, and we will keep...
Thank you for that.
We'll keep you in the loop, true crime-wise.
All right. Sounds good. Katie, she's climbing up in her big chair.
Yep. It takes her a minute. She's not the tallest person in the team.
Feet don't touch. Shane sent me a meme the other day, which I've seen several times. It's like, you know, I talk a lot of smack for someone whose feet don't touch the ground.
That's great. True.
What was the name of that character that Lily Tomlin used to play on Laugh In?
Oh my gosh, I don't know. In
the
giant
girl,
chair.
Sat in a giant rocking chair.
Man, that was so funny.
And had opinions about things.
So good.
Yeah, I
can't remember the name.
Yeah, me either.
Oh, darn it.
Yeah, I wish I hadn't brought it up.
So funny. So cute. All right, Katie, take it away.
Fire away.
Well, like I said, we're going to be in Northwest Alabama today.
Okay.
Like, pretty high up north. If you didn't read the title of the podcast, we are going to talk about Roger Dale Stafford.
Okay.
And he was born in Sheffield, Alabama, November 4th, 1951. Sheffield is like near Muscle Shoals, Florence,
okay,
that kind of area.
Yeah.
If you're familiar with okay. the campus of University of North Alabama mm-hmm. is in Florence. Mm-hmm. That college actually used to be called Florence College or Florence something.
Florence okay. State, maybe.
Florence State, maybe. Yeah.
That is the alma mater to some of our friends,
Danny
kids.
And Jenna Chestnut's
yeah, Julia
younger daughter,
Chestnut,
Julia.
And then another, this young lady was actually a homecoming queen there. She's from Cherokee County, Olivia Oliphant.
So, oh, yeah.
Her, nice. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think I used to be friends with her mother back in the day.
So, oh, yeah.
Is that Carol? Carol.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were so close friends in high
school. We know some folks from up in, or who were up there mm-hmm. for 4 years for college at least.
Well, this is where our that's where our story starts. We'll come back to that area, but we're going to spend the most of our time in Oklahoma. So we're back in Oklahoma.
Oh, wow. Okay. We did a jump there.
We're going to fast forward to the 70s.
Fast forward to them. Wow.
Wait a minute.
Okay.
Roger Dale's born 1951.
Okay.
But now we're going to be in 1978.
All right. So Roger's an adult
he's
now.
27 years old-ish.
Mm-hmm. And he is married, has three children.
Wow.
And we're in June. The day is June 22nd, 1978.
Okay.
Melvin Lorenz and his wife, Linda, both sergeants in the Air Force, are going to be traveling with their, I have read four different accounts, listened to a podcast episode. No one says how old their son is the same. So he's anywhere from 9 to 13,
okay,
according to accounts.
Yeah, you get that a lot.
Yeah.
I run across that very often. Mm-hmm. The age is different on a especially a young person
yeah.
in mm-hmm. several different accounts of the crime.
Yeah.
So Melvin, Linda, and Richard are traveling near Purcell, Oklahoma, and they're heading up to North Dakota for Melvin's mother's funeral.
Mm.
So they're driving, Melvin drives a truck and the truck has like a camper shell on the back. So okay. Melvin and Linda are up front in the truck and Richard is in the back actually under that camper shell.
Oh, he's just back there playing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You didn't have to wear a seatbelt.
Spent a lot of time in the backs of pickup yeah. trucks when I was a kid. It, oh, yeah. Everybody did it in the
He's
70s.
Running around doing whatever he wants.
Oh, yeah. And it's June. Like, it's warm. Mm-hmm. The truck probably doesn't have AC. Did you have AC in vehicles in the 70s?
You had to get the fancy model.
They probably cracked a window for him.
Yep.
Yeah. So they're going to stop on the side of the highway when they see a stranded vehicle. The hood's popped. And there's just a woman sitting in the vehicle. So okay. Melvin sees this and he's like, oh, there's a woman stranded on the side of the road
Let's
alone.
Help her.
Let's help her. Mm. That woman was Verna Stafford. And Melvin's going to come up, ask if she needs any help. After she's kind of flagging him down like, hey, I need help. So she's like, she's obviously stranded.
Mm-hmm.
Melvin pulls over. Turns out the car was not broken down because from out of sight, are going to appear Roger Dale Stafford and his brother, Melvin. No, his brother, Harold.
Harold and Roger.
Harold and Roger.
All right.
They are going to jump out where they were hiding and they are going to ambush Melvin.
Gummit.
They both have pistols. They're aiming them at Melvin and they're saying, you know, give me your wallet. Melvin, like I said, he's military. Different accounts said he was active military and some said he was retired, but he was a sergeant okay. in the Air Force. He's like, hey, look, I can't give you my wallet. I can give you some money, but I'm on my way to my mom's funeral in North Dakota. Like, I have to have some money to get there.
Mm-hmm.
I can't give you my whole wallet. And so when he starts arguing with them, Roger is going to shoot Melvin in the face. Killing him instantly. Linda sees this and she is going to charge the pickup truck and she's going to head for Verna.
She said, I'm
all right.
All right. You she's kill fighting. Mine. I'm about to kill yours.
Yeah. Okay.
And so she's tries to hit Verna. Verna and her kind of have a bit of a scuffle. She kind of knocks Linda over. Verna does. And as Linda's losing her balance, Roger is going to shoot Linda twice.
God, I was hoping Verna got her ass beat.
Yeah.
She did not.
Dang it.
Then they're going to hear a child's voice coming from the truck.
Oh, no.
And he's calling out for his mom and dad. What's going on? What's happening?
Because he can't see. He's in the back of the pickup truck with the camper bed.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Camper
and
shell.
They So then Roger is going to, they're going to decide, well, we can't leave any witnesses here.
Oh, no.
Going to break the window out on the camper shell and shoot Richard.
Good grief.
They dump Melvin and Linda's bodies in the adjacent field. Some of them drive their station wagon. One of them jumps in the Lorenz's truck.
Now they've added stolen vehicle to everything else. Yeah.
Grand Theft Auto.
And three murders.
They're going to drive down the street a little while and then discard Richard's body further down from his parents.
Why didn't they just put him with his parents?
I don't know. They might have honestly forgot.
Panic.
Yeah.
God. They're going to hate these people.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, senseless. Like, but then they're going to drive to the airport and dump the truck at the airport.
That's actually...
I mean, that's smart. If I have to give him any credit.
Yeah.
Dang it.
And would y'all like to know the cost of these three lives?
Oh, no.
How much did he have in his wallet?
About $600. Which honestly was a lot. And it,
sure. I mean, I wasn't expecting $600, honestly. Like, I thought it would
probably,
be less.
Yeah.
Because he was headed to his mother's funeral.
He's got to drive all the way across the country and back.
Yeah.
Motel rooms, gasoline, food.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So he's got cash for everything.
Yep.
Yep.
This is before everybody had a credit card.
Mm-hmm.
Less than 3 weeks later, Roger is going to strike again. This time, they decide that they're going to rob a restaurant called the Sirloin Stockade in Oklahoma City.
Well, it's probably got a lot of money. It's got sirloin in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess it's like a, I'm guessing it's like a steak.
And everything was a cash business back then.
Yeah.
So you knew where the money was.
At the end of the night, there was somewhere there was a big bag of money. Yep. Yeah.
They have stalked out this restaurant waiting for it to close.
Yeah. So they're waiting for the night deposit to leave. Yeah.
So they see all the customers leave and it's just the staff still there. So they go up to the door. The side door, and the manager is going to answer it and greet them. It's Roger and Harold are in the front, and Verna's kind of behind. As he opens the door, out pops their guns again. They force him to take them to the cash register and the office. So
okay,
he takes them, I think, to the cash register. No, the office first, and then the cash register. Once he's in there, the manager kind of gets a little ill about it. I guess he doesn't think that they're actually dangerous, because he's like, I don't understand why people don't just work. Why you want to go rob someone? Why can't you just
tell
work?
Him. Tell him, manager.
And he keeps on about it, really, and is taunting them. So Roger says, hey, why don't you round up all the employees that are here?
Oh, no.
In total, there are 6 employees, including the manager, on staff that night.
Whew.
Couple of cooks, 3 servers, and the manager.
Yeah. He's going to hit the manager, demand that all the employees come to the cash register. They're all there. They have them all at gunpoint. And then he takes them to the safe. So it was cash register, then safe. Then to the safe, where there was a total of $1,290.
All right.
In the safe. And he orders everyone into the walk-in freezer. 6 employees, all teenagers and young adults. Like, there's no one very old working this night shift.
Sure, yeah, it's teenagers.
Harold's going to turn to Roger and say, hey, remember, like, no one's going to get hurt. Like, we agreed no one was going to get hurt.
Mm.
And Roger says, they'll get what they deserve. Mm-hmm. The first person he shoots is the only black man.
Of course.
And then, in turn, he is going to shoot the rest of them.
Good grief.
Harold is going to help him. I think Roger may have run out of bullets, or they both shoot people in this scenario.
Is Harold the younger brother?
I think so.
Going along with older brothers? Mm-hmm.
When I looked into Roger's childhood, there was a lot of back and forth. There was reports that he had a good childhood, reports he had a terrible childhood. There were reports that he had up to 10 siblings, and there were reports where it was just Roger and Harold.
It's probably they're just getting these accounts from Roger.
Yeah. Yeah. And
yeah, add pathological liar to the list.
Yeah. I'm showing Scott a picture of Roger. Look, check out that. Mm. Check out those eyes.
There's no doubt that's from the 70s.
Yeah.
Yep. Oof. He just looks mean. Look at that look.
Yeah, he looks mean.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he is mean.
He is mean.
I don't think I have to tell you what he looks like listening to the crimes. Good
think of,
grief.
Think of Charles Manson and you're in the ballpark.
Those eyes are very close, yeah. Aren't they? Yeah.
So Verna is the getaway driver. And in fleeing the scene of the murders, they nearly crash their beat-up station wagon into another vehicle. That vehicle was actually the boyfriend of one of the workers. He was coming to pick her up after work.
Mm.
So the driver managed to get a good look at them in the car. And he sees mm-hmm. Roger Stafford. He's able to mm-hmm. identify him later on. So in addition to the man that he almost crashed into, there was another person waiting in the parking lot of the restaurant, and he also gave a description of the car. He saw the station wagon. So it was a green beat-up station wagon. So it was very kind of...
stolen, I'm guessing.
And I think that was their vehicle.
Okay.
That's what they had. So for
6 months... Booger green station wagon.
Probably.
Yeah. That was a very popular color in the 70s.
Ugly people.
Yeah.
So for 6 months, investigators are going to follow leads. These leads are going to lead them into 5 different states.
Good Lord.
But they find no one. They don't know who they're looking for yet. They just have the eyewitness details and a vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Green station wagon, scraggly hair, mustache, evil eyes. Probably several people as they reached out to departments.
Oh, yeah.
They, around.
Every department had that person.
Every department
they were
had
for.
That person on their short list.
Yeah.
And so at this point, Roger Dale Stafford thinks he has got away with it.
Well, he's right so far.
But he was far from the criminal mastermind he believed himself to be. And I'll tell you just how far from that he is after this word from our sponsors.
Hey, Scott, how have you been feeling lately?
Fine so far.
Are you good? Do you have allergies or any kind of issues that someone from Cherokee Family Healthcare could help you with?
Not now, but they have in the past. Tell everybody what they can do for you.
All right. So Connie Geimer and crew, they are there Monday through Friday. You can check out their website at CherokeeFamilyHealth.com for all of their office hours and detailed information. But what they are committed to doing is providing the highest quality of healthcare to patients with compassion and respect. And I can attest to that, Scott. How about you? Did you have a good experience?
I had a wonderful experience. My only time I've ever been to Cherokee Family Healthcare.
And it was great?
100%.
Awesome. Well, I've been participating in the weight loss clinic there, seeing great results, and I feel great. So that's just one of the services that they offer. They can do primary care, all other kinds of things, from DOT physicals to I'm just got the sniffles. Let me just walk in and see what I can do about that. But you can check out their walk-in hours on their website. So give Connie Geimer and the gang a call at 256-266-1021. That's Cherokee Family Health. Hey, Katie, do you know what's really terrifying? The unseen dangers lurking in your water.
Exactly. We spend all this time talking about crimes, but what about the crimes happening right in your own pipes? Hard water, chlorine, and contaminants could be wreaking havoc on your home and your health.
That's why we trust Aon Water Technology, an authorized Connecticut dealer, to keep our water clean, safe, and most importantly, free of unwanted intruders.
Whether it's for your home, business, or family, Aon's filtration and softening systems give you crystal clear water, no mystery involved.
So don't wait for a real horror story to unfold in your plumbing. Call Aon Water Technology today and get the clean, crime-free water you deserve.
Visit aonwatertech.com or 256-262-3426 and schedule a free water test. Be sure to mention True Crime and receive a 5% discount on any system or service. Hey, True Crime fans, it's time to start planning your 2025 summer staycation. Why not take it right here in Cherokee County, Alabama?
We have a ton of things to do here in Cherokee County. You can wet a hook in Weiss Lake, swing away at Cherokee Pines Golf Club, take in the breathtaking views at Cherokee Rock Village, hike the National Preserve at Little River Canyon, enjoy an all-day splash at Pirates Bay Water Park, and there's so much more.
The Cherokee County Chamber of Commerce and Tourism has a full list of lodgings, RV sites, kayak rentals, and campgrounds. And they're all anxious to meet your vacation needs, whatever they may be.
So come stay with us this summer from wherever you are. Plan your Northeast Alabama summer staycation by visiting cherokee-chamber.org.
Kelly and Katie, let me tell you guys a story, just a quick one about something that happened to me recently while I was dining at Easy Street Restaurant, Bar, and Performance Hall. A man there told me that he and his wife were moving into the area sometime soon, and they were looking for somewhere to live. And I said, the first guy you should call is Greg Oliver. Greg is the owner and broker at Go Realty here in Center. If you're like the man that I met who is thinking of moving to this area and you're looking for a home or property anywhere in Northeast Alabama or Northwest Georgia, give Greg Oliver a call at 256-504-3847. Greg has a full list of waterfront, residential, commercial, farm, and investment properties, and he is ready to help you find whatever you are looking for. All right. Thank you to our sponsors. Katie, you left us hanging.
Mm-hmm.
You said that this Stafford fellow is not a mastermind. Please explain.
So on January 3rd, Roger Dale is going to call the OSBI, which I'm assuming is the Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation.
Sounds right.
And he was drunk.
Roger?
Roger. He's going to drunkenly call the state police department.
He's drunk dialing.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's going to tell them that the murderers they're looking for are his brother Harold. And at this point, his estranged wife, Verna.
He's turned on them.
It sounds like Harold and Verna might have hooked up.
Or him and Verna had a tumultuous relationship, I think, anyway. So, yeah, him and Verna are on the out. So, he's calling and he's like...
I'm honestly shocked that this wasn't a very happy and satisfying marriage.
Yeah. You know.
So... So wait a minute. He's drunk dialed the cops. And somebody else.
The state BI.
No, that's it. It was the state police department. That's who he's drunk dialed. And he has told them, the murderers you're looking for, I know them. They're Harold Stafford and Verna Stafford.
Kelly officially has the giggles.
Oh, what a dumbass. I'm sorry. This is ridiculous.
However, either fortunately or unfortunately, however you want to look at it, 6 days after the robbery and murders at the Sirloin Stockade,
mm-hmm.
Harold Stafford died in a motorcycle accident in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Karma.
And so when the police are researching that, they talk to the funeral home mm-hmm. and ask, you know, about family or anything. And they
sure.
say, well, one woman did come and visit him.
One woman.
Or come to identify the body or whatever mm-hmm. they had to do with the funeral home. And they traced that woman to Verna Stafford, who was now in Chicago, Illinois. They're going to find Verna, and they are going to arrest her. And Verna is going to talk and talk and
tell the whole story.
Sing like a bird.
Yes. Because they soon will find Roger and arrest him as well. He was also in Chicago.
Now, they would not have had their names to even look for Harold. None of this would have meant anything had he not drunk dialed them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes, he started the whole investigation.
This might be the dumbest criminal we've talked about on the show in 5 years. Is it? Is this the dumbest one?
There are some others. There are some other dummies.
That drunk dialed the police.
Well, not that dumb. But that implicated themselves inadvertently and didn't really plan it out. I think of Perry Smith and mm-hmm. Dick Hickok.
Yeah.
Killed the Clutters.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they
drove all over the country, mailed themselves a box from Mexico. If they hadn't gone to the post office in Las Vegas that day to pick up that box,
yeah,
they would have never been caught.
Never been caught. You think about that. Like, they're never as smart as they think they are. I mean, BTK, they would have never solved that case had he not started.
Yeah.
His harebrainedness. Anyways, that's how he was caught because he thought mm-hmm. he was so smart.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Roger's like, I know how I'll get them caught and I'll just run off into the, like, what?
Take my $1,800 and disappear.
That's life-changing money.
So Verna starts talking. And so they're looking for the people who committed the murders at the restaurant.
And she just happens to know who it was.
And she, you know, tells them about that. But then she's like, well, I can do you one better. He also killed these people on the side of the road. We forgot about the Lorenzes. And they're like, why were y'all doing this? And she said, well, we needed money. So we had decided we were going to go and commit robberies. So they were driving around town before they murdered the Lorenzes, and they were going to rob stores. And they decided all the stores had too many people at them.
Okay.
They thought about robbing motels, but then they decided that there weren't enough people at the motels, so they probably didn't have enough money to bother with.
Okay.
And then Verna came up with the plan to be a stranded motorist on the side of the road.
Okay, so she's the mastermind.
She's the mastermind. And then she is going to say, I'll do you one better.
What?
And Roger began his killings January 12th, 1974.
Uh-oh.
So now we're back in Alabama.
5 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Back in Alabama.
And he killed 20-year-old Jimmy Earl Berry. Now, Jimmy was a student at the University of North Alabama, or Florence State at the time.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Right.
He was working as an assistant manager at McDonald's restaurant in Muscle Shoals.
Okay.
He had his family didn't have a lot of money. It was him, his mom, and his sister. And he was working at McDonald's to put himself through school and to help out around the house. Like, he helped take care of his mom and his little sister.
Groceries and power bill, water bill.
Mm. Just going about his day trying to be a good person. Mm.
And he was shot 4 times as the perpetrator robbed the McDonald's of literally $1,300.
So this late night, he's closing alone.
Mm-hmm.
And he stakes the place out and waits until everybody's left.
This McDonald's closed at midnight.
Yeah.
In 1974. Mm. And if
you're a music fan at all, you've heard of Muscle Shoals. I mean, a lot of great bands recorded at the studios there back in the early days. The Stones had an album that was recorded there. We talked about that when we talked about the Altamont.
Yes.
Murder. But if you know your music, you know that a lot of people, Lynyrd Skynyrd back in the day, there was a big place for people to come with a very nice music studio and record albums that we've all heard through the years.
Yeah, still.
Still to this day. Yeah.
But yes, poor Jimmy, I mean, just senselessly murdered. And his case was cold until Verna brought it up.
Yeah. So she's telling everything. She's talking about all the pillow talk they've had.
She's trying to get herself.
She's like,
out of Old Yeller, which is what they called the electric chair in
Big
Alabama.
Big Yellow Mama.
That's it. I'm sorry.
Big Yellow Mama.
Old Yeller was a dog.
You've made this mistake.
Have I done that before? Yeah. Oh, shit. Sorry. That's why I don't do this alone.
Big Yellow Mama.
So at Roger Dale's trial, he is going to show no emotion.
Now, is this trial?
That's where these pictures you can see.
Is this trial in Oklahoma for the murders conducted there?
These are for the restaurant.
The restaurant murders.
Okay.
His first trial. He's even going to try to act as his own attorney at one
point.
Oh, that's
great. That's always a good idea.
Worked out great for Manson.
Yeah.
And Bundy.
Backfired spectacularly.
Oh, I can't imagine a guy this smart couldn't represent himself in court.
Because the evidence is overwhelming. They have ballistics, or as much ballistics as you had in the late 70s, early 80s. Witness testimony.
Yeah, they had the guy in the parking lot.
Saw him. Yep.
Then they got Verna.
Yes, and Verna. Verna is going to sing like a bird on the
stand.
She testifies against him right there in open court.
Sounds like a lock.
Yeah, which you don't have to do as a spouse. She could have spousal privilege. Nope.
Well, he's already tried to turn her in when his drunken self called the cops. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she was done with him. No love lost there.
No, yeah. He is going to obviously be convicted of those 6 murders.
Okay.
He's going to be sentenced to death in that trial.
All right.
He's going to turn around very soon after and be convicted of the 3 Lorenz murders.
So he's up to 9 murders.
9 murders, death sentence.
Okay. Is he ever convicted of the other one in Florence?
Never even tried for it.
They already had it. I mean, that was 10 murders, though.
And he's in Oklahoma, so they're not going to send him to Alabama.
Yeah, they're done. They're like, we got him for nine here. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And while he's sitting on death row, Verna's going to divorce him.
Good for you, Verna.
Now, Verna is going to serve two consecutive life sentences of her own.
Okay, yeah.
So,
yeah.
She was just...
She earned that.
Yes. Yeah.
She was trying to avoid being electrocuted.
The death sentence, yes. Yeah. Was it electrocution there in the 70s?
No.
What was it?
A lethal injection, I believe.
Lethal injection.
Okay.
Yes. Which, like I said, we're now into early 80s.
Okay.
But he's going to spend 15 years on death row.
Okay.
And while he is on death row, he is going to get married not once, but twice. He's going to, file his appeals. He gets hooked up with not an innocence project, but a group that they don't believe in the death penalty at all.
Opposed to the death penalty.
So,
gotcha.
Like, they're not really arguing that he...
This guy shot a 9-year-old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, we talked about Harold. Harold's going to die in the motorcycle crash, so he, of course, never sees trial. I think I skipped over this, but the reason Harold agreed to help Roger Dale is because he needed money to pay for an abortion for his girlfriend.
Well, it seemed like he just kind of kept going there for a while. It seemed like he had enough for that.
Yeah. Well, I think he just
kept going.
Desperate motives.
Yeah.
Call for desperate measures.
Well, did she ever get her money?
Not that I know of. If I were this girlfriend too, I would steer clear of all this, but I didn't find anything else about the girlfriend. Roger Dale and Verna said that they were robbing people to pay for a place to live for them and their three kids. They were kind of transient, which I think is a nice word for homeless.
Mm-hmm. Where were these kids when all this was happening?
It's a great question. I have no idea where the children were.
These people are terrible parents.
They're young children.
Staying with one
That's
of
right.
The
they've
others.
Got three kids.
Three kids. In the, yeah.
Staying with the grandparents.
I know
somewhere.
The youngest name was a little girl named Candy.
Okay.
I can't remember the boys' names. Mm. I didn't put them down. Scott doesn't like a lot of names.
Well, and we don't want, the kids didn't do anything wrong, so we hope they went on to have a good life.
Yeah.
Hopefully away from these parents. And
probably somewhere around my age.
Made it even better.
Today, those kids.
Have a good life now. Maybe.
There were several weird things about his execution day, but he... is scheduled for execution on July 1st, 1995.
Okay.
And it was by lethal injection in Oklahoma.
So and 20 years for all of his appeals to play out.
Yeah. 15.
15, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Which is about right with an appeals process, isn't it?
Yeah. And they're like...
if you max it out, I mean... it's
trying to argue right down to the wire. It's always like... when that date's set, that's when people really...
they get on fire about it.
I saw those...
let's try to get a stay. Mm-hmm. Let's try to get a...
reach out to the governor's office.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he maintained his innocence through the whole thing.
So he's saying, I didn't do any of this.
Yes.
He's saying they all did it.
Yes.
He has a dead brother to blame.
Well, that's easy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
My brother did it. It wasn't me.
Right.
And Verna was outside. So, hey, what? Maybe some jury will believe him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's saying it was Harold and Verna.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to incriminate both of them.
Yes, both of them.
They're all guilty. All three of them.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, we've talked about this before. If you are involved in a criminal conspiracy to commit murder, you're as guilty as the person who pulled the trigger, even if he hadn't been the one. And by all accounts,
if you
was,
drive the getaway car,
you're still on the hook. Right.
And you knew they were in there killing people. They've already killed three other people.
It's called felony murder.
There it is.
Yeah.
If you commit a felony and someone dies, someone is murdered.
Right.
Felony murder.
Yeah.
He starts spewing a bunch of bullshit. Like, he's like, you have sentenced me to death, and I'm telling you now, I'm not afraid to die.
Okay.
He's like, I'd like to tell the world, you're seeing an innocent man murdered. I've got nothing to lose by telling a lie.
Well, you saw 10 innocent people murdered.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Roger.
Yep. He, like I said, his third wife, while he was on death row.
Okay. Yeah.
Her name's Mickey. She was there with him.
Okay.
And I read something too saying that he was speaking in tongues to her before.
Nice.
So I don't know if that.
Well, it's foreplay.
Exactly.
It's foreplay.
Well, he had a lot of time in, in prison while he was writing letters, they could have come up with their own secret language.
Yeah, they said
that. Is he speaking pig Latin?
I'm trying to explain this. I don't know.
But they say moments before time came that he's smiling. Good. They say a prayer. And he closes his eyes and his last words are, "Oh God."
Oh. Like a scary, like I'm scared, like, or like,
I don't know if it was
oh
a
"Oh God, help me." Or, oh God, I don't want this to happen. I mean, it could be any of that, I guess. Okay. Well,
sounds like the guy got what he had coming to him.
I mean, yeah.
You always like to hear, because, you know, we've talked about cases before where there's enough doubt that maybe somebody ended up on death row and they possibly shouldn't have been there. But this one just sounds pretty cut and dry.
Right. And that those the cases like you're talking about, Scott, that just makes everybody feel icky and, and awful. And
I don't feel icky and awful about this one.
I don't either.
So
I probably should. It probably makes me a bad person that I don't feel.
I don't know. I go back and forth on the death penalty.
Know,
it seems like every time we talk, because if one innocent person gets executed,
then it's awful.
Then you can't ever
do
it again. And you know what's happened.
Oh, yes.
As many people as we put to death in this country, somewhere, sometime, an innocent man has been executed for something he didn't do. But it sounds to me like Roger Dale Stafford on July the 1st, 1995, got exactly what he had coming.
And here's a little bit of weirdness post-mortem.
All right.
Oh dear.
Less than 2 weeks later, Assistant Attorney General Sandy Howard received a $5 sirloin stockade gift certificate with the message, and I'm going to read it exactly because it's not grammatically correct.
Okay.
"Hey, you got away with it. I am murder, and you helped do it. I am innocent, and you know it." Written on the back and signed Roger Dale Stafford, 103767.
His prison ID number.
And it must have been. And investigators traced the certificate's origin to a sirloin stockade restaurant in El Reno, Oklahoma, and determined that it had been mailed from McAllister, which is where the prison was.
Okay.
On July 3rd, which was 2 days after his execution.
That's weird.
He put it in the mail, and they just have slow mail.
Or his wife mailed it for him.
Yeah,
the wife mailed it for him.
Either that or cellmate.
Yeah, cellmate. But if she was there at the execution, then she obviously was still in his corner. And
yeah.
So, hey, listen.
The new wife. This is wife number three.
Yeah, Mickey. Let's give him one last fuck you. Mail this the day after.
So I've got to know, did she use it? It's $5 at the sirloin stockade.
I have.
I mean, that's an appetizer, right?
You were just morbid.
Maybe
as
in
hell
95.
Back in the 70s, I might have been two appetizers.
Yeah, this is 95.
Yeah, this is 95.
Oh, yeah. 95. Oh, that's one appetizer.
Yeah, that'll get you a $4.99 plate of potato skins.
So I guess the sirloin stockade is
Bloomin' Onion.
Remember
the Bloomin' Onions?
Sure.
That wasn't there, but.
Well, we don't know. It's like a chain. It could be like an Outback Steakhouse.
Have that. I don't know if she used it or not, but that is weird. That's unnerving a little bit, and that's what it was meant for. Yeah.
I am murder, and you help do it.
I am murder.
Murder, and you help do it.
He was trying to say, I was murdered, and you did it. I'm innocent.
Yeah.
Not buying it.
No.
I bet she's got that framed hanging on her wall, or she did when she had an office.
Maybe. I don't know.
She's still in the business.
I probably wouldn't have kept something like that. No. That would probably disturb me too much, I think.
Yeah, it's very, just like, you know, he planned that last word.
Yeah. Yeah. So what happened to Mickey after that? Do you know?
I have no idea where Mickey is.
Oh, yeah.
I'm assuming she probably met another crazy. That's probably.
Did she find another husband on death row?
I would assume. That seems like
she might have.
You know, or something similar.
The type to do that seems like they are persistent in that. Pursuit.
Yeah, and I have talked about this before. I know I have. I am fascinated by this, by the fact that can find someone on death row and then marry them, and it's just fascinating to me.
Yeah,
I don't understand it.
I don't either.
He found two.
Yeah.
He had some sort of charm about him, apparently.
Must have.
I don't know.
I listened to a bit of another podcast on this, and they were talking about Verna, because they were trying to see if she was good looking. like for while people pulled over the first time and the answer was no. And they were like, I don't want to be mean. And they're like, you know what? Actually, no, we can be mean about this one.
I just showed Scott a picture of Verna.
Yeah.
Scott, what do you think?
I would have kept driving.
Yeah. Yeah. And like I said, I'm not judging people on their looks, but Verna helped murder a lot of people. So.
She did. She did.
She was the ultimate accomplice. Like she bought weapons. She drove the car. She obviously stashed the kids somewhere.
Now you said she was sentenced to 2 life terms. Uh-huh. So if I don't know exactly how it works in Oklahoma, but in Alabama, if you're sentenced to life, you're eligible for parole in 15 years.
Yeah. She's been eligible for parole because I think I said consecutive. I think her sentences were actually concurrent.
Okay.
But they were like 10 to life or something. It was how her sentences ran. Mm-hmm. So it was like a range. Mm-hmm. So she has come up for parole since, but she's not.
Has been denied.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good to hear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think she deserves to just stay there. Agreed. Even though the only reason she started talking and helping is because they arrested her.
Yeah. There's
She didn't.
If she'd been dragged into it.
Yeah. If no. she'd have walked into the police station and offered, yeah, you know,
she perpetrated the fraud on the side of the road and then was involved in another crime where people were also killed.
Uh-huh.
So she got what she deserved.
Wow. Oh, yeah. And you know, she watched her husband kill the Melvin. And then when his wife comes at her, then she's ready to fight. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like, mm-hmm. Verna was down for the count.
Anyways, good grief. Well, Katie, thank you for that.
Thanks for
that's what we want to say. Yeah.
I hate that some of the dumbest criminals we've talked about today are originally from Alabama.
I'm ready for another heist or something where nobody dies. You guys know I'm partial to heists
but
anyway.
But you know that our listeners are partial. Like, they don't like when there's not murder and mayhem.
We're going to have a palate cleanser coming up pretty soon.
We do need a palate cleanser. That's a good that's a good way to put it. We do need one, and we'll get you one eventually. Ladies and gentlemen, please say something nice about us on our social media platforms. Visit Believe to check out all of our episodes.
And a bunch of other great podcast episodes.
Absolutely. They have all kinds of great podcasts. Email us, truecrimeoneasystreet@gmail.com. Tell us where you are listening. The person who is the furthest away will get a free t-shirt, one of only 12 t-shirts that are being made.
The contest continues.
It does continue. So keep sending us those locations out there. We're not trying to stalk you. You don't have to give us your address.
Yeah, don't send us your address.
Just tell us, you know, where you're from.
Until you win, then we'll need something to mail.
Oh, yeah, good point. Sorry about that.
That's oops.
We promise not to stalk you.
Yeah, we promise. that's enough, I think, guys. Is that it?
That's it.
Good night, everybody.